They told me what you doing. I said, what I'm about to do is turn the fuck up.
Hi, this is Cindy Kim, and you're listening to Dark Match Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Selena de la Renta, Film Promociones Dorado and MLW. You're listening to Dark Match Podcast.
You are currently listening to the Dark Match Podcast, but more importantly, you're listening to the voice of the first and only ever two-time Rookie of the Year, Jackson Argos.
What the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you?
So we're
hey Pat.
But,
hey, Pat.
But.
Did you watch NWA today?
I did not. Don't spoil it.
I have
not watched it yet. Although Shannon dropped you off some food at your front door, by the way.
No, she didn't. No,
yes, she did. So that's what she was dropping off right now. So she swung by before she went to the store. So.
Well, I did not get any information about that.
No, I didn't. So she just texted me. She said, just dropped it off at Dave's door. I didn't know if you were recording or not. So that's why I thought I'd just push record, and then I just got the text right now. So sorry. So
wait, what's going on? Wait, what's at my door?
You have carnitas at your front door.
Well, so. No, because nobody's told me that they're here.
Yeah, she said she wasn't going to knock because she didn't know if we were recording or not.
Well,
so that's why.
No one even texted me saying, hey, there's food, so then I could just go meet
She
you
didn't
downstairs.
Want you to look at your phone either, so that's why.
So then there's no food here because I don't know of anyone here.
She just texted me saying that she left it at your front door. She knows which apartment you have, you moron. She's been to your house before. So... there you are.
What? Wait, happy? Wait, hey, shithead. You dickhead. I'm sorry. I'm not
yeah.
No, and as I say that there was somebody in the hall, and I think he thought I was talking to him, which it wasn't.
You've been iced, motherfucker! Drink up. Let me hear that crack right now.
Shitheads. No. Did you hear that?
I did. Now drink. Chug, 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 chug. Like you're in college, bro. Cop the balls. Did you drink it, or are you just... kinda...
No, because I was going to be nice, and I was actually going to do this for Snapchat, too.
Oh, okay. Here you go. Do it live on Snappy Snap. Come on. Getting it open. There you go. Uh-oh. He's chugging the drink. He's chugging the drink. He's chugging the drink.
I hate you.
I hate you, too. You've been discovered. Josh put it on Snapchat. Yeah, he posted it on Snapchat, so it kind of ruined everything. Yeah, I know. That's why I said shit. You've been discovered. Next time, you should just text Dave that you have something for him, by the way. Did you drink it? Was it tasty?
Yes, I did.
Was it tasty? Well, one note else is tasty. Our episode here today. We talked about it. We discussed it. We thought, you know what? We're in quarantine. That we're social distancing. What better time now to have back on none other than the six-star booty for an installment of 50 Shades of Filth, How to Survive Social Distancing with none other than JT Energy.
Without even falling off, gotta be compatible. Like,
no,
geez,
I have not watched. No, because I will literally rotate my chair and just stare at the TV and not get shit done. I gotta get projects done. Dan just, my computer doesn't work. Dan has to do some dumb fucking IT thing.
Well,
he can sit there and watch TV all day. I can't.
All right. Well, this is 50 Shades of Filth with JT Energy. One thing that we promised that we were going to do. Dave's already, he's ready to break out of quarantine already.
No, because you've asked me every goddamn day, if not at least every week. I haven't watched Tiger King. And no, I am almost like taking a stand, even though my beautiful girlfriend has at least watched half of it, I think. I have not asked if she's finished it yet.
So I'm about ready to text your girlfriend and be like, okay, we need to talk about this and find out why you haven't convinced your boyfriend to do so. I have fallen
down. Because we don't live together. B, when I pass out at midnight and her daughter goes to bed, then she'll have from midnight to 7 a.m. or however long before she passes out to watch something, especially since the show I caught her on, she finally caught up to me.
What show's that?
So she had to find something new. Manifest.
You and me, I haven't fallen down.
Dude,
that
it is such a good show.
Okay. There's tons of good shows, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. But let's introduce our guest this week. He's back by popular demand with none other than 50 Shades of Filth. One thing that we premised on the show when he was on, and it just sounded like a fantastic idea. So, especially with social distancing, well, how are you going to get filthy? Well, we're going to show you exactly how. We're going to tell you exactly how with none other than the 6-star booty, JT Energy. First and foremost, thank you for putting up with our banter, but it's only just begun. But how are you doing
it's
today?
Really, I'm doing really well. It's nice to hear other human voices, even if they're bickering back and forth. It's still good. It's still good to hear that people have passion in their lives for something.
Well,
let us also put out, you are our first guest that we have ever said, oh, hey, here's this awesome thing that we should do that we finally got to come through.
That is 100% true. We've had so many conversations on the show about, oh, remember when we brought this up with this person? Remember when we brought this up? And we never do it. And then it's like, you know what? This just sounds too good. We have to do it. Messaged you. I actually sent you a meme of Carol Baskin, and it was like, hey, like, because I've broken that seal now, like, let's get you back on the show. You're like, absolutely. Like, we're good. So we're talking about ways that we're surviving quarantine. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the wrestling world outside of the wrestling ring, and we'll definitely touch on that, get your thoughts on that. But one thing that I believe everyone is doing is they're falling down these huge rabbit holes, whether it be on Hulu, on Netflix, on PlayStation, on Xbox, where their lives have just been consumed and they've literally... I'm still pissed at Netflix, by the way. I'm still fucking here. I'm in quarantine. Where do you want me to go? Like, yes, I'm still here. Stop asking. Like, I didn't even have a girlfriend that ever asked that many times if I'm still here or if I'm still listening. Jesus. Deactivated already.
A lot of these services would input something where you can just bypass that, and it's your own fault if you run up your data rates or whatever. Like, just let it keep playing. Who cares?
Exactly. It's like, yes, I'm still here. 4 hours later, like the episode is. I'm intrigued. I'm still watching it. I haven't turned it off. Like, why would I not be here? So
I haven't gotten that issue with Hulu.
Shut up, Dave. God. So. Starting things off, we've already touched on Tiger King. You haven't watched it. So, JT, it seems like at this point, like, we've started every single episode with, we should just rename our podcast. Like, we're no longer Dark Match Podcast. We're Dark Match Tiger King Podcast. So, your thoughts on, there's so many things that have come out. Like, TMZ has hit, like, hey, behind the scenes, they just released a new episode just recently, too, getting people's thought processes. What was your major takeaway from it?
So, when I started watching it, I didn't know what to expect. But the internet all of a sudden was on fire, and you just kind of had to be like, okay, well, I need to at least give it a minute of my time to figure out what's going on. And after the first one, I was like, okay, that was a train wreck. Where do we go from here? And my favorite thing is every episode was just a different train wreck. Like,
yeah,
somehow every piece of the puzzle by the end of the show was tied together, but I never walked away from an episode being like, well, that's what I was expecting to happen.
No,
it was always something completely different. And just when you're like, okay, it can't get any more messed up, it got 10 times more messed up. Yes. Out of nowhere.
Yes. The best part, and I'm not spoiling anything, but this is kind of like a
little... Who cares? Just spoil it. All I know is some chick fed her husband to a tiger, and one guy just turned a bunch of guys gay with meth and tigers.
That should be like the pretext. Like, what can I expect? Woman feeds husband to tiger. Gentleman convinces straight men to go gay for tigers and meth. And it's like, I'm watching, yes. But my favorite part is...
So just blow it. Just talk about it.
I'm not going to, because you still have to watch it. But my favorite part is it's probably like the fifth episode in. You have literally watched this absolute train wreck go down to the point where there's an interview that is happening with a guy that gets into the bathtub. And it doesn't even bother you. You're not like, oh, like, this is weird. It's just like, oh, that's normal. Like,
yeah, you're so desensitized to the insanity. Yes. That everything is normal.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm watching also, it. Like, this should really freak me. Like, this should really like make me say, like, what are they like? Why would they record this? And then it's just like, oh, okay. Like, that's just normal.
I feel like it's a really good way to just kind of appreciate how probably normal you are compared to some people that also live beside you in this world that you don't even know how close you could be to them.
And then the guy that got his arm ripped off and then came back to work like five days later.
Yeah, that was a lady.
Well, she's trans.
Sure, yeah.
And
she's like gender equal.
Yes, gender equal. So. But 5 days later, gets arm ripped off. Comes back to work 5 days later.
You know the crazy thing there? Like, I feel like in that insanity that ensued, like, that's also not something that would blow my mind if you would look at what, you know, like 10 years ago in wrestling, if someone, you know, broke their back and then they had an interview with them at the hospital on SmackDown. And you're like, this is real life? Like, and of course, like, why wouldn't Vince McMahon, like, dig deep and we're gonna make sure that we support this superstar? Like, it's insanity, but it's also pro wrestling.
Yeah, this is good shit, like, as he would say. I don't think he would, but yeah, like, with wrestling today, like, I can't even imagine if, like, back in the Attitude Era there was like a Joe Exotic character, like, just comes out with tigers and stuff like that. Now go figure, after like all these pictures came out after the documentary, it's like, oh, remember that one time that Lex Luger came out on Nitro with a tiger? Oh, there's Doc Antle. Like, and
yeah,
you didn't even think anything of it.
Yeah, it was Big Papa Pump on Thunder walking down the ring with a tiger.
Yeah, with Doc Antle right next to him. It's like, oh, okay, so I have seen him before and just didn't put two and two together. Well, I mean, why would you really venture down that rabbit hole with the exception of Netflix and quarantine? Yeah. I mean, even if I wasn't in quarantine, I'd probably still watch it, because I watch the weirdest things on Netflix. My wife's common is, what are you watching today? And I just finished a documentary earlier today, too. I finished, wasn't really a doc, it was Waco. I don't know if you've ever watched that or not.
Yeah, the Timothy McVeigh story, right?
No.
Timothy McVeigh is the Oklahoma City bomber.
Yeah, no.
Waco was the...
David Koresh.
The crazy guy. Yes!
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, was Waco, was that the one that was on FX?
I think so. Yeah, like back in the 2018.
There was a Unabomber one on there too recently, wasn't there?
I don't know, but I would be absolutely intrigued with that.
A lot of times, if I'm like staying up late and I want to put something on, anything like that, those are the type of docuseries I'll sit there and just like fall asleep to, like the Aaron Hernandez one.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'll just be like, well, this is crazy. I'm going to go ahead and pass out now.
Yeah, the Aaron Hernandez one was insane. One other thing.
That one was weird.
That one was really weird. It seemed like with some of the things, it was kind of forced. Like they were trying to like the one guy with his dad. It was like, okay, like you're trying way too hard to get this point across. Like just pushing that, and I don't know what to feel. Like we lived through it, but it's just a career just lost. And one other thing that I've fallen down to, have you guys watched Dark Side of the Ring? That's a...
Oh, absolutely. No, I have not.
What?
Oh, man. Oh,
what are you doing?
Dude, Pat, what network's that on?
It's on Vice, but you can watch it on YouTube. They post the episodes on YouTube.
Yeah. And, no, I haven't gone and watched it yet.
Oh my gosh, they had some great ones. They did the Benoit story just recently. They did, what was it, New Jack? That one was messed up.
Yeah, they did Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet, so no spoilers. And then tonight, I think they're doing Dino. It is the one they're dropping tonight.
The Dino Bravo one.
Yeah.
Yep. That one's going to be good, too.
Yeah, and like they put out on, I think it was either Twitter, it was on Twitter, they asked, what stories would you like to cover from here? So if I was to premise that question to you, if there was a story behind the scenes that you'd love to know more about, what would be one docuseries that you think wrestling fans could get behind?
Man, I'm trying to think like of the stuff that, you know what, I think it'd be cool because he was featured, I think he was recently featured, Draws was featured in one of them, and I would love to have like a backstory of like the LOD 2000s run when they came back, and the incorporation of Draws when they were doing like the alcoholic storylines with Hawk, and then leading into Draws having, you know, that horrible thing happen to him where he got paralyzed, because everything about it was just kind of like really awkward, because you had a guy that was thrown up as his gimmick, and then you also were taking a guy's drug abuse problem and turning it into a thing where he was falling off a Titantron on TV, and depending on what age you are, you're just looking at this like, this is really like weird. This is not the Road Warriors, like the monsters of, you know, the 80s.
Yeah.
And now we look at these guys that are just falling apart on TV, and we're just having people tune in for shock factor, but you know that things were all too real behind the scenes, where things were really heading in a bad direction.
Yeah, and I remember watching that as a kid, like thinking to myself, like, is this real life? Like, and it was good because you couldn't separate, like, okay, is this a storyline or is this really happening in real life? Like, did he really just fall? And
They had Draws on there recently. They brought him back up because of the Brawl for All. That's right. That's it.
That was a messed up episode too. Like,
yeah.
And just thinking back to it, like they had so much money in Steve Williams and Dr. Death, and everyone. And like I didn't know about it. Like I knew that there was a big build up because they brought back Dr. Death like shortly after WrestleMania 15, and that's when I kind of got really into wrestling. Like I would watch it sporadically, but after WrestleMania 15 is when I really got into it, and they had that huge storyline with Dr. Death, and they had him with Bart Gunn, and that's how they brought back JR and everything like that.
Well, it was almost like heartbreaking, especially in that episode, to watch Bart Gunn, who regardless of whether he was like charismatic or not, like you had his underdog story. And instead of like push him and get a really good story out of that with the underdog story, because you could almost turn it into like he was so good that he believed in himself and then he just turned into a dick, and then bring Dr. Death back and get his vengeance in like an actual match or something of that nature. But like the fact that they squashed him and then Dr. Death just fell apart to the wayside, like I don't understand why you would just bury talent when you had a shoot fight on TV and everybody was like, holy cow, look at Bart Gunn. And they're like, oh, let's just knock him out.
Yeah. Like, he was the ultimate underdog story. No one thought he would win. And the fact that even, who was it, Russo even came out saying that he started the Brawl for All just so he'd shut JBL up. That was the whole premise behind the Brawl for All, was JBL was talking shit in the locker room, saying how tough he was. It's like, okay, well, let's prove it. Let's literally have a boxing match in the ring where who knows what could happen. You really could potentially get knocked out. And look at all the careers that were cut short because of it. And Bart Gunn being one of them. He could have had a monster run after that. He could have really took that title and ran with it. But you know what? Let's bring in Butterbean and let's literally knock the shit out of him and knock him into next week. And I think that was only, what, like 30 seconds total?
Yeah, because he like knocked him down and then Butterbean was like, I really hope this guy doesn't get back up, because if he does, I'm going to have to turn his head, you know, around to the back of his neck.
Which he did.
Which again, he did. But like, when I look at that spectacle out of WrestleMania, like, okay, you throw some money at Butterbean so that way you can get this event, but Bart Gunn gets nothing out of it. The story goes nowhere. So you kill off something with one of the biggest shows of the year, which you would think or would hope would end stories or start pushing them forward. And when I look at that, I'm like, you just put a guy out there to get his head knocked off, and maybe in a 1 in a billion chance, he knocks out Butterbean in some way, shape, or form. But like Bart said, he's like, I'm going to go try to box this guy instead of throw haymakers at him.
Yeah. But like, who else was in the Brawl for All? Like, Godfather was in it. Obviously, JBL was in it.
Godfather and JBL both got, you know, knocked out courtesy of him. And then Hardcore Holly was his first round guy. And they had to go to a decision, and you know, it's, man, like Hardcore Holly was, it's cool that they went to a decision, because Bart, I don't know if he just, you know, didn't want to knock his buddy's face off, but at the same time, like, it's cool that Hardcore went to a decision with him, even though he lost, and then, you know, he knocks out the Godfather, a legit fighter, and then big JBL, who the whole thing was for. Yeah. And then he gets to the end and, you know, he made a career for himself. Like, it'd be a cool thing, you know, it may never happen, but like, can you think if they made a Brawl for All Bart Gunn, you know, elite figure or something like that as a throwback for a toy fair? Like, that'd be a crazy thing.
Oh, I'm loving your Friday figures too, by the way.
Thanks, man.
So just looking at some of them, it's like, okay, well, I completely didn't even know that was available, and now I have to go try to track it down and potentially risk my wife grounding me again from buying another figure.
It's one of those things where I think with that stuff, like, I've always had a passion for the whole memorabilia, especially action figures, because that's what we grew up on, and you know, that's nostalgic through whether it be wrestling or G.I. Joes or Ninja Turtles or He-Man or whatever it may be. And when Hawkins and Ryder really got a bunch of momentum behind their podcast, I was just looking for more content to put out when it comes to, you know, social media and showing people who you are as a person, and I have a pretty extensive figure collection. I'm like, I might as well start sharing this stuff because I really enjoy figures, and Hawkins and Ryder have made it kind of a really cool thing to be a figure nerd nowadays. And with as cool of figures and elites and ultimates that they put out now, like, the people that are nostalgic about it, I mean, they're gung-ho for everything that we get. I mean, we're spoiled when it comes to wrestling figures nowadays. So,
oh yeah, so much easier to find now. Yeah, you have the internet, eBay, Amazon, you have Target, you have Walmart, where you can just order online, and you can order them pretty inexpensively. Back in the day, I mean, I remember like going to Family Toy Warehouse, which was a place, Dave will probably remember that.
Oh, right next to Old Country Buffet.
Oh, yeah, like right where the Target is now, and like I would
Old Target.
Old Target, yeah, I keep completely forget that they moved too, and now it's like a Planet Fitness or like a Fitness 24.
They moved Fitworks up there, and then I think the other half of that Target is now like a storage place.
Yeah, and then they knocked it down, like where Family Toy Warehouse used to be, is like now condominiums now.
Yeah, it's like townhomes.
Yeah. And like that was my childhood. Like I would convince my mom, like with every like allowance I would have, like I'd have Figure Friday. I'd be like, all right,
you dude, Family Toy Warehouse was not that good, man. Every time I went in there it was kind of dirty.
Oh, it was absolutely like it was junky, it was dirty, but they had the best wrestling collection that there was. Like that and KB Toys before they shut down because they didn't have a KB Toys at Great Northern Mall, so you had to go to Westgate Mall, which was it for JT because he's not from here. Like imagine like an 80s mall, like it literally like a mall you would see in the 80s with like neon lighting with like a smoking section. It had a smoking section in the middle of the mall.
Dude, Westgate was awesome.
I hated Westgate.
That's how my sister won the N64 that is currently in my apartment because she got it from the Dairy Queen Orange Julius.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, somehow she, all of a sudden, her and her one friend were walking back in the house. They won an N64.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was the greatest thing. I still hate Donkey Kong because I can't beat that game.
Like, the only stores that were worth going to, like, they had, like, that old-school arcade, like, way off in, like, the outskirts of the mall, over in the corner by, like, all the stores that nobody cared about.
Dude, and Sam Goody.
Sam Goody was awesome.
Like, God, what was technically the basement part of that?
That was, like, the basement part of your East Coast.
No, it was Sam Goody, and then I don't remember YFE. The other half of it. No, it was not FYE.
I don't know. Like, there was Sam Goody, yeah, like, then there was, it was, like, East Coast Video or something?
No. Like, no, East because Coast? It was more music, but it was, like, it was some other, like, music store. But it was, like, under, like, you just took the steps downstairs inside Sam Goody.
Or you could take the elevator that always got stuck. Yeah. Always.
And that's why you don't take the, that's why you don't take the elevator.
I agree. But, like, that... I think the movie store that was connected to Sam Goody was like East Coast Video or something like that, and they had pretty cool like VHS collection of wrestling videos and stuff like that. But like KB Toys, like wrestling collection, not too bad. But I hated Westgate. Westgate Mall, terrible. Only good stores there: the arcade, the Indians team shop, Sam Goody, yes, and KB Toys. Once those left. I mean, they tried to keep that mall open for a long time. There were only, like, two stores in there at one point. Like, there was, like, the Chinese, like, restaurant was one of them.
Dude, okay, if we're going to get into this mall, Sbarro.
Sbarro, yes.
Sbarro.
I could go for some Sbarro. Oh.
Right, dude, I know, you got to go to fucking South Park for that one.
Yeah. Like it's Taco Tuesday, so we're grilling up some carnitas tonight. So
give me some super greasy Sbarro pizza, man.
Can we get off of this topic, please? You're making me hungry, man. Well, back into it. So
I may have to go on a trip here soon.
Well, let me premise this question to you. So we were talking about Dark Side of the Ring. If there was a story that you'd want them to cover, Dave, what would the story be that you'd want?
I have no goddamn clue.
All right, well, he's only
because everything they talk about seems to be like super dark, so I have no idea.
Not necessarily. They talk, well, yeah, it's all dark stuff. So
so I have no idea. You guys know more about the super obscure stuff than I do.
I would. There's two that I was thinking of. The two things that I would love to dive into. The first being Brian Pillman. Would be Ooh. One that I would love to see. And then the second story I would like to hear is about Wrestling Court, like the backstage courtroom.
Yeah.
And all the cool. All the different controversies that happened behind the scenes that really no one knows about, but you had to go to the boys and essentially get approval for. I think that one would be... I think they could easily make that a two-parter because, like, you even think of, like, Wrestling Court, for example, like, one thing that happened in just recently, the whole Lita, Edge, and Matt Hardy scandal. Even that in itself just being, like, an episode would be great. But like the fact that they actually had to take that relationship to wrestling court, and the deciding factor was like William Regal, who was like, look, like, you have been told it's on you, but we're not backing you. And pretty much said, like, if this goes south, you don't have the boys on your side. You have our blessing, but you don't got our support if he comes after you. So I think that'd be a fun one to see, because that one, geez, that, and now that I'm thinking about it, there's like 15 others that I'd love to see too, but I think that one, those two would be at the top of my list, more than likely. Yeah. So,
yep. No, that would be great.
Now, what are some other things that you found yourself in, some advice that you can give to our listeners to essentially help survive? It's coming to the end, depending on the state that you're in. Some states have already opened up beaches, and some places do have some locations that you can go into, social distancing still in place. But for those that are still sitting at home, still working through the quarantine, what kind of advice can you give them to kind of help pass the time? We're digging into the filth here. What would you recommend, whether it be old school movies, new movies? What are your recommendations?
Well, one thing I can say is don't try to be an optimist. Don't think that things will end soon. Also, don't be a pessimist and don't think it's going to go on forever. If you can find a rhythm in your life, stay true to the rhythm, because if you can just continue to roll through it, eventually whatever you're doing on a weekly basis will become the new normal. And if you find your new normal, then when things, quote unquote, maybe go back to some way, shape, or form of what you used to enjoy, it's going to feel that much better, because it's going to feel like, oh, look, we're being rewarded with just staying the path of whatever we've been told as much as we can. When it comes to like what I'm doing in my daily life to get through it, I mean, if you can and you are an essential worker of any kind, go to your job and just focus on your job while you're there. One, first and foremost, is put your work in, stay safe, and come home. That'll pass a ton of time. And make sure that, hey, I've been trying to focus for a long time now, focus on getting like appropriate sleep, because one of the best things about the whole situation a lot of us are getting to deal with is your life is probably giving you back a little bit of extra time. And with that little bit of extra time, you can do anything that you want with it, which is nice for people that realize, hey, I have a little bit of extra time on my plate. I've always wanted to do insert anything. I see a lot of people that are going and releasing their artistic side online. I see people drawing and painting and really letting out the stuff that they've never had time for, but it used to be one of the things that they enjoyed in college or high school. So they're getting a chance to kind of have an outlet now. I see a lot of other people starting fitness journeys or things of that nature, which, hey, believe me, something is better than nothing when it comes down to it. I see one person say, hey, I did 10 sit-ups today, or I went outside and did a walk for 30 minutes. That's awesome. At least you're embracing the things that were given day in and day out. I've started running a lot, and I know some people absolutely loathe running. But it's one of those things where I've found just my pace, and I can go, and the amount of time I can waste just listening to a podcast or some music, or if it's a really nice day, just listening to everything that's around me. Like, if you can start appreciating the small stuff, just looking around and having a little bit of gratitude, like, that's the really cool stuff that we're all given in life right now. But there's all kinds of ways to pass time, you know, whether it be filthy or not. Anything I do, for the most part, if it's surrounding JT Energy and the 6-Star Booty, I try to keep my social media still pretty relevant, letting people know. One of the things I've recently started to creep out a little bit more and let people know is, hopefully sooner than later, I'm going to have a new t-shirt dropping. And when the quarantine started to really take effect and we had to shut down all of the wrestling events and we just kind of had to put a stoppage to this. I am currently the CEW champion at Central Empire Wrestling. There's a group in Des Moines called 3XW. I am their pure wrestling champion. And then here in the Quad Cities for SCW Pro, I am the QC cup holder. So I am Mr. Two Belts, One Cup. So I'm looking to hopefully soon release my Two Belts, One Cup t-shirt to put a little bit of filth into everyone's lives. And I've put it out there, like, there's a lot of people and wrestlers on the independent scene that are actually starving paycheck to paycheck for money because they were trying to live off of wrestling. And I'm lucky enough, I have a full-time job. I'm able to do wrestling as well. And there's a lot of people out there that, hey, if they need you to buy a t-shirt so they can have a meal or get to work or whatever, like, support those guys and gals, both of them, whatever. If you can throw some money and get a cool JT Energy shirt, awesome. I can't wait for people to do that. I have my t-shirts online. I go through a website called Lucha Libre. My guy does all my designs and throws them up on there. But right now, I just want to see anybody and everybody who is prominent and loves independent wrestling just to be able to come back to independent wrestling when all this hopefully starts to trickle back in and we have actual events that people can go to again.
I agree. And there's going to be a lot of new faces, too, and a lot of new merchandise. I'm sure a lot of people have seen some of the pro wrestling t-shirts that have come out. Personally, one of my favorites, the Heath Slater shirt, went from I got kids to I got fired. I need that shirt. I didn't get fired, but I would love to rock that shirt. Or I just quit would be another fun one, too, but some of the faces that are coming out, I think it was just announced that the locker room, out of all the people that got let go, the locker room really fought behind Sarah Logan, was one of the ones. So they just announced that they're going to be bringing her back.
They're still not sure about that one because everything I read was she was supposed to be there Monday and then they wrote her out.
Yeah.
So they're still not even sure.
Well, I thought the craziest thing, you know, if we're hopping a little bit onto the topic of, you know, some of the recent releases that, you know, unfortunately hit pretty hard, it seemed like a handful of those people were on the last couple weeks of Raw, and then all of a sudden they were on the list, and it was like, man, like, how were those people just on TV, and then you let them go versus having, you know, people that were sitting at home. And I know it's kind of probably like a personal choice for some of those people that are there or aren't there, and they've been given the options to work during this time and all of those things. But it's crazy that you'd have one or two of those people, you know, get beat, like Sarah Logan had the arm thing with Shayna Baszler, and you had No Way Jose get smashed, I think, by Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, those guys were on TV, and then the very next week, see you later.
Deonna got smashed by Nia Jax, too. And then the next day, she's gone.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's crazy, like, you know, say whatever you want about, like, the budget of WWE and things of that nature. And every year, it seems like we always have our releases that come. And I always feel bad for the talent because, you know, they strive so hard to get where they did in their careers. Then for some reason they were released. But I feel like every year once releases come, I don't ever think it's bad in any way, shape or form for the people that are getting released because independent wrestling is so much better. It's in a better place than it ever has been. So when it comes to, hey, who can we have, you know, fill in all these spots on the indies, or, you know, come flourish these super shows that get put on, or you get dream matchups that you never thought you would. And a lot of times what comes out of those releases is people work their asses off for 2 or 3 years. They look phenomenal. They have a new story behind them. And then all of a sudden WWE goes, man, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but, you know, so-and-so has done this and I think we got to have them back. Like, they make themselves, it's what lights the fire inside them that maybe grinding for 8 years kind of took out of them, and they get to go relive wrestling and say, hey, this is what I love about it. And if WWE someday down the road wants to say, hey, man, we'd love to throw some more money at you, then great. I'm in a better spot in my life. I want to go ahead and give back to you or be a trainer or do whatever you need. But, you know, there's some people that really have kind of lit the indies on fire the last couple of years. And when they go to WWE, you're kind of like, they deserve it. But every time new crop comes in, there's got to be some people that get purged. And those people have the same ability that the ones that just got hired to go back out, love, and, you know, breathe indie wrestling like a lot of us do. And they can do whatever they want with it if they want to get back to WWE. But you have places like NWA and AEW and Impact now. And there's so many great athletes across this world that, you know, if you bust your ass and you do the things to show everyone that you love, you know, professional wrestling, like, if you want to get to WWE, cool. If you want to get to AEW, cool. But just being in a ring, being in front of crowds, and, you know, giving little kids like the moments that they'll grow up to remember forever, like, that's what pro wrestling is. Like, whatever level you get to, like, I'm so grateful I'm just at where I'm at right now. And if things get better and I keep working my ass off, like, I want to go at the top. I want to get to WWE. I want to have a tryout. Like, but for now, like, I'm very, very happy with what I've had. And I don't ever want to get complacent or, you know, feel like the grind has got to me and watch other people just kind of get by me and me let myself go or any of those things. Like, I'm sure that happens, because if you're in the same place for, you know, 15 years or whatever, like, it grinds on you. And sometimes you just got to switch it up so that way you can find that thing to, you know, fall back in love with.
You got to find that itch, in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
And I think it's a great learning experience for a large majority of them, especially for someone like for Curt Hawkins and geez, why am I blanking on his name right now?
Zack Ryder.
Thank you. I was looking at his new merch, and I was going to call him Matt, but Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, you even mentioned their podcast right now is flourishing. And just with their connections on the independent circuit through their promotions that they train with, and also they hold shows for. Here's an opportunity for them to truly rise to the occasion. And Curt Hawkins has been out before. He was brought back not the best way he wanted to come back. But, hey, it worked for him in the long run, because now he's got that name for him. More people and more fans know him. And he's going to go out there and absolutely smash it. Individuals like EC3, who were mainstays in Impact. Yeah, I know, right?
They brought him in, and they just never had anything for him.
No, nothing.
It was. I honestly think they brought him in specifically just to not go anywhere else.
I completely agree, and a lot of the things I've been seeing on social media too, there was a huge crop of people that they were just signing so they wouldn't go elsewhere, and now they're cutting that fat, and guess what? They're going to go there anyway, but they're cutting them now when they really can't. They're not going to get the buzz or the pop that they would want with these big reveals. Right. You had Matt Hardy and Brody Lee debut in front of no one. Crowds of zero, but they've done so many great things with them, with no crowd, and they've gotten some buzz with it. Now the Revival, another one. I don't know if you guys saw the picture of this.
No, you mean the Revolt?
Well, they're the Revolt, but the Revival, they wanted to make them like a comedy tag team. Did you see those pictures? I don't know if it's real or not. Did they confirm it?
Of the gear that they wanted to put them in?
Yeah, like.
Well, I haven't seen it.
I'm sure in those situations, when it comes down to like, hey, where do we go from here? I'm sure there's like a ton of stuff that gets put kind of laid out and say, okay, how good are these guys? What can they do? Where can we go with them? You know, things of that nature. And we get, of course, like the comedy picture released, and whether it's true or not, it's the one where the indie wrestling scene can be like, oh, look, of course creative was going to screw up one of the best tag teams that's, you know, been in wrestling in the last couple of years. Same thing. I think there was a picture of Braun Strowman where it was like Braun Showman, and he was going to be like a giant magician or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, I mean, if WWE comes to you and they say, "Hey, we got like 10 ideas. Let's throw them out there." Like, whatever you end up being, like, you got to go balls to the wall regardless of what you get. And, yeah, you know, people like Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor, you know, all of a sudden you got Grandmaster Sexay and Scotty Too Hotty. They were like a comedy tag team. But when you think of, okay, what did those guys have to do every night when they came to the ring? There are some people that really want to get in there and work and do traditional professional wrestling. But if you can get those guys to go out there every night and dance and do the worm and things like that, like, it's you're living the entertainment aspect of what pro wrestling is.
Yeah.
And I think everybody at a certain point, you don't have to be the worker's worker in that sense when it comes to it day in and day out, because your character should evolve over time. And you just got to make the most of whatever you get. I mean, if somebody told me tomorrow, like, "Hey, JT, we think we want to somehow transition you into a Twilight vampire," I would say, "Well, that sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard of." But I mean, if someone said, "But we're going to give you a salaried contract and we want you to go balls to the wall with it," I would say, "Well, I guess I better start watching the Twilight movies and reading these books, because I need to go all in on this, because I'm going to be the best goddamn Twilight vampire you've ever seen in your life."
Yeah. And you look back to like Too Cool, like they were really, they really didn't have a whole lot of success, but they were definitely, whenever their music hit, they had huge pops. They their merchandise, the yellow sunglasses, I think I even had a pair of yellow sunglasses. They were the most expensive pair of sunglasses.
You would. Dude, I couldn't wait for, I think it was when No Mercy came out. When No Mercy came out, I was so excited to play as Too Cool. One, because I was hoping that they had their sweet black and white gear that they always wore, and I wanted Scotty Too Hotty to be able to do the taunt and do the actual worm. Like, you had to wait all year for that wrestling game to come out just so you could do the worm, just like I had to wait for the first time I could do the people's elbow in a video game.
Very true. One of my biggest qualms with that game, though, is with the Royal Rumble set, you could not get on top of the taxi. That was that was my biggest beef with that game. Why can't I get up there and do a swanton off of it through a table? Why?
Yeah.
So, who knows? But I actually have, like, I just purchased a PS4, finally converted, by the way. So, since our last conversation where I mentioned, "Oh, I don't even have any gaming consoles." No, now I have a PS4. I'm addicted to it. There is one game that I am addicted to, which I'm happy to say a week later, I finally got that goddamn coyote. It's Dave knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's this game. Do you have a PS4?
I have an Xbox One.
Oh, okay. So, okay. I've never been an Xbox person. I've never played it, so I can't really speak for it. But there's this game that we downloaded. It's called The Hunter Call of the Wild. When I first heard it, I was like, "Wow, that just sounds ridiculous. I'm not doing that. I'm not downloading it." Downloaded it, played it for like a night. Next thing you know, I look at my watch. It's 2:45 in the morning. I'm like, it's so addictive.
In the scheme of everything now, where it's like everything can be almost seems super stressful, and you don't know what the next day is going to bring. This thing you get so lost in, and all you're doing is hunting. Like, it's like you just go into these different maps, and you're going through the woods, or you're going through like freezing cold Russia, and you're just going, you're hunting animals, and that's it. For no other reason. You're just doing it. But it is so calming and so relaxing and weirdly realistic.
Extremely. That,
next thing, we'll sit there. It's like, I'll start at 9 o'clock, and next thing, like, me and a couple of our friends, it's like, "Oh shit, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, like, I gotta be up at 7 for work. Good news.
Oh, yeah, but it is so calm, but it is just so weirdly relaxing.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you just like post up. Like they have different missions, and even as it progresses on, they just give you more missions, just more things that you can get.
Yeah,
and they just give you more money. You can buy more weapons, and yeah. they have like all these different animals that have like these different classifications, and you're just going like you're trying to find like they have like bronze. You have some that have no.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, you have. They have like the different trophy ratings. They have. There's different amounts of money that you get for each kill and experience points. I keep getting run over by wild boars.
You and wild boars, man. You wild boars and warthogs are not your friends.
No, I did get run over, I think, by a moose yesterday. It didn't kill me.
I ran into an antelope the other day on my four-wheeler while I was trying to go to a different map. Yeah. I'm not kidding. This game is so addicting. But
oh yeah, you get to shoot reindeer, man.
Well, don't say that out loud. Like kids are probably listening to this. Like Dark Match.
I said. I'm sorry. I killed Comet.
Fuck, man. Dark Match podcast is for the fucking kids, man. Like you're gonna spoil their dreams. Like they're gonna think they're not getting any Christmas presents.
Hey, Rudolph's fine.
Rudolph's fine. Okay, well, that's all that matters until we start hunting later on tonight. But I got
give me half an hour.
I got WWE 2K20 as a.
Have you played it yet?
I have not. Haven't even.
We'll get into that later.
Oh no! Like I was so excited to like, oh, like I'm gonna bust this open, like see what all the talk is about. There's so many different characters. Like I just want to see their entrances and stuff like that. Haven't even opened it. And I think my kids at this point in time, my kids have played my PS4 more than I have.
And with Sonic?
No. Like, my oldest is really into The Sims. I can't help her. I was never a big Sims person. Never played The Sims ever. I played like Roller Coaster Tycoon like back in the day. I was that used to be like my first like video game obsession was like Roller Coaster Tycoon and things like that. But like the younger two are really into, well, I shouldn't say the younger two. The younger two that can actually play are really into the Sonic Racer. But we just confirmed that we're going to be purchasing Sonic Mania, which is like a reboot that they did of the original like Sega Genesis Sonic game, but incorporating a few more characters, and my son has been talking about it. My son's 4. He knows more about Sonic the Hedgehog than anyone I've met my entire life. Like he gets on like YouTube and he watches these videos. Like he is obsessed with Sonic the Hedgehog. Like where I'm trying to like put that bug in him. Like, hey man, let's watch this wrestling. No, like he gets on his iPad, then he starts watching like Sonic stuff. I'm like, buddy, I can't have a conversation with you. But he will just, I'll ask him about Sonic. He will talk for 3 hours. Has no problems with it. He knows everything about Sonic, about Tails, Knuckles. We took him to go see the Sonic movie. He literally like marked out when Tails came out at the end of the movie. I didn't even know.
Spoiler.
Sorry. Yeah, Tails comes out of the Sonic movie.
Well, trust me,
sorry.
I already knew that because he already fully explained it to me that night.
I know. He's a little shit. I didn't even watch it yet. He's like, oh, and Tails is at the end. I'm like, you're going to have to learn about spoilers, man. Like, why did you just do that? So he's so pumped about it, but like I can't get him into anything else at all. It's all Sonic nonstop, but... The PS4 is going to be the death of me. I had to go out. I had to buy 2 controllers, and they've literally just taken it over. Like, they currently have more trophies than me in their games, too. kind of upset. Like, I keep getting notifications. Like, I have the app, and I keep on getting, like, hey, new trophy achieved. New trophy achieved. I'm like, okay, can you try to kill something in this game for me?
Like,
well, Nora wants to play it, but like she was walking around in the woods and like she thought she to run faster, she kept like shooting her gun. I'm like, sweetheart, like when you don't hit anything, like it hurts me. Like I'm going down on gun points right now. Like don't do that. So I've kind of like named that like my game. Like you're not allowed to play this. It's my game. So Well, what are some of your go-tos that you've jumped on Xbox One during quarantine and kind of did a deep dive into, if you have?
Well, what's been happening for the most part is I was playing a little bit. I was jumping back into one of the Assassin's Creed games, and I would like to. I'm one of those where I'll play something just for a little bit, and then I'll play another thing. Like, I like to just kind of jump around between games. So I play, like, you know, a match or two on, like, 2K18 just to, you know, mess around and get my wrestling fix. And then I'd go over to, like, Burnout Paradise, which is just I can drive around and have races and get cars. And, you know, I do a couple things on there. And then I play a little bit of Assassin's Creed, get a mission or two done. But what started happening is, you know, me and my girlfriend live together. Well, she's got more free time on her hands now too. And she started to have questions about Kingdom Hearts, which incorporates Disney characters. And we have extra time on our hands now. And I saw that it was on sale the other day, and I had downloaded the demo for her, and she had started to play it, and it was on a really good sale. So what I've been doing now is I've been watching my girlfriend play Kingdom Hearts on my Xbox One. And it's cool to see her play video games, because she hasn't had, you know, really anything since like a Sega Genesis when she was little, and she was playing Aladdin and The Lion King and stuff like that. And now she gets to kind of experience video games and all of the greatness that they are nowadays, and also get some of the cool Disney characters thrown into the video game mix as well.
I still know the code for Aladdin on Sega.
Which, like, one?
The AABB, 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 AA, I think it is.
Yeah.
It lets you, like, skip the levels, and it just, like, takes you all the way to the end with, like, the carpet ride.
Yep.
I remember that. I don't know why I remember that. It was, like, I think I learned it because I think I was at a friend's house or something. It's, like, they kept on saying, like, oh, you're not a good Sega player if you don't know how to beat this game. And I was like, okay, well, I went and found like a code online, and that's how I beat it. I was like, look, I'm already on the last set. I'm already on the last level.
When I look at like video games now versus like when we were younger and we had video games, like I went back to my parents' house recently, and I grabbed a couple old GamePro magazines, oh, and I was looking through them, and one of the things, like, there was a tips and tricks or like a cheat code section. And I can remember, like, anytime I got a new game, the first thing I'd do is I would go online, try to find like the cheats for it or things of that nature, because I was like, you know, you got to have that stuff. I want to know what like the hidden stuff of the game is. Like, and nowadays there like isn't hidden stuff. There's stuff that you can like buy expansion packs for or things of that nature. Like, everything's got the add-on to it. You don't have the ability where after you beat a level, you have a piece of paper and a pen next to you, and you're trying to write down a code so that way you can put it in the next day because there's no save point or something of that nature. And it's just like a whole different way to like approach video games nowadays versus what they used to be.
Give me one second. I think one of my kids is up.
Yeah, some of the podcasts that I've been recently listening to and things of that nature. It's so funny because everybody seems to be doing a lot more of their podcasting, you know, back and forth. And a lot of times there's a lot more interruptions that I hear in the podcast now because people are home with their families and they have to change their schedules and all things of this nature. And it almost makes the podcast a little bit more entertaining because it's just kind of like on the fly and you still want to get it done, but you can't have perfection because it's just life is around us now.
Oh yeah. And that's kind of, well, what we did, I think when we talked to you last, we had already moved our, you know, essentially our studio into Pat's basement. So,
yeah.
Well, so even then it was like, we're already trying to maneuver the kids, but now even this, it's like, now I'm at home, I'm in my apartment. You know, I just pop on my headphones, make sure my phone's actually on silent so that I don't start getting like text buzzes in my ear. But yeah, this has definitely been a whole different thing. I have heard some others where, yeah, it sounds more real. And that, and even coming into this year, it's like, even some of our conversations, we try to get a little bit away from like just the the typical, how'd you get into wrestling? You know, why, you know, what are your favorite matches? This, that, and the other thing. It's, we decided we're going to make this real. This is what, you know, so let's get maybe a little more behind the curtain. We'll talk about that. You know, and I feel like that it's made it a hell of a lot more fun. And I'm kind of, I hope that other podcasts in general are doing that as well. Because let's be honest, just let everyone be successful. Let everyone have fun.
Yeah. 100%.
Especially especially with wrestling.
Everybody gets very excited for the first time they get a chance to like go on a podcast, because you want to hear that question, like, how'd you get into wrestling? Who inspired you? Who's on your Mount Rushmore? Who influenced this and that and stuff? But like the things that really get people in the long run when it comes to like interaction between you and your fans is the fans, they want to know who you are as a person, because they see the character, but they also want to relate to you. And that's why, you know, it's cool when people, you know, listen to Stone Cold's podcast and they're like, oh man, he's just out on, you know, his Kawasaki, and he likes to go out and, you know, drink his IPA beers that he's got, and he's got Stone Cold pocket knives, and, you know, people just like to hear him as a human talk about the same type of stuff that they have. He loves his dogs, and there's a lot of people at home, they're like, oh man, I love my dog, that's so cool. Next time, you know, if I get a chance to go to a meet and greet with Stone Cold, I think it'd be really cool if I showed him a picture of my dog. And he'd probably love that, because, you know, he loves his dogs at home instead of someone being like, hey, remember this? Of course he remembers that. He's been asked a million times, but he's never seen your dog before.
Exactly. And it's like, even like with a guy like you and some of the other people we've talked about, oh, hey, you know, you're into video games, you're into these different kinds of movies and whatnot. You can connect on a different level. Then it's like, oh man, I love all the work you do in the ring. It's now the person becomes a little bit more real and relatable. And I think that's what I've gotten out of this. It's like, I love the human, like, I love the human story. I love hearing, like, I just love hearing about the person. Yeah. Yes, I love the work you do in the ring. I love the character, you know, love you, hate you. If I hate you, it's because you made me hate you, so you're doing something right.
For sure.
But it definitely is getting to know the person, I think, is what makes us the best.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things about, like, just podcasts in general, and, like, wrestling podcasts, because each podcast you go on is hopefully something completely different. And so when I talk to, like, you guys, or I talk to someone else, it's fun that I don't feel like I'm just an answering machine that's on repeat. I get to talk about different things here and there. So every time I get to promote a podcast that I'm on and I'm talking about things, like, I'm like, hey guys, if you want to hear me talk about all this stuff and you haven't heard from me in like 5 years and you're wondering how things are going, listen to this podcast. Because there's a lot of times that's the best way that you can catch up with people that you care about, whether they're wrestlers or artists or musicians and stuff like that, because you're like, oh man, I don't know what that band's been doing, but I just saw that they were on this podcast. And when you listen to them, you're like, oh, that was so cool to listen to them catch up with those guys, because they just talk about their lives. And when people get to hear about that stuff, then it feels like you get to catch up along with them when they talk about their life, on what they're doing nowadays, what they like, how they're getting through life, things of that nature. Because even though we're so connected through all this different type of technology that we have, it's still one of those things where before all this happened, a lot of us were still sucked into our phones. We were sucked into TVs and, you know, video games and things of that nature. And now we're getting that extra time to connect with people that maybe you hadn't talked to in a long time, but just shooting somebody a message on Instagram or Facebook and stuff like that. Like, you know, that's better than, you know, seeing someone in person. At least you're catching up and just being like, oh man, I've seen what you guys are doing. I love the Dark Match podcast. Like, how's that going? Where are you guys going with that? Like, it's really cool to just kind of catch up with people and see that people are still trucking along during these crazy times, and giving people an outlet to go ahead and kind of still lose themselves, even though, you know, the daily life might not be the normal thing. We still have a lot of media in front of us that allow us to escape and just kind of like sit back and chill and just stay sane while we can.
Yeah, the best of what we can. I'm back, by the way. How are you guys?
I kind of figured.
Yeah, you kind of heard the microphone moving and things like that.
Yeah,
but
a little bit,
I definitely agree with like just being able to reconnect, and like I've definitely fallen down like on Spotify just listening to these old bands that I haven't really had an opportunity to truly listen to, especially at work. I'm closed off from people. I'm still working, but I can't work face to face with customers any longer because it's just at this point it's not safe. Well, what am I going to do during the day? I'm going to watch this. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to stream this, whatever it may be. So it's giving me an opportunity to kind of reconnect and really not only watch old wrestling and kind of find like why I got into it in the first place, but like with music, like just like yourself, I also DJ. So gives me an opportunity. It kind of gives me an It gives me an opportunity, like, okay, what songs go together? And, like, I'll use some terminology that you'll understand, like, learning, like, different BPMs and, like, what goes together, what flows. Okay, what can I mix now? This is a great song. What works with this? How can I incorporate this into a show? And, okay, it probably wouldn't work with this because the beats don't match up. And, like, Dave is like, what the hell are they talking? BPMs.
I know beats per minute. Okay. I'm not that big of a moron.
Then what's the most common BPM? Come on, Dave.
128 sticks out.
Yes! That's why you're my best friend. I love you. So, yes, 128 is, well, between 128
and 130. I want to say it was like something in there, and it wasn't just like, it was either a certain music, like, a certain style of music that plays around that, but there's a reason behind it.
Well, more club music is roughly around about 128 to 130 is where they try to keep that around that point. So that's where, like, at certain shows, if I'm looking to pick things up, I'm going to 128 or 130 BPM. So want to stay away from, like, the slower, like, you can get some like that are in like the 60s or 70s, like, but those are very near and far between and don't really mix too well. Yeah, you typically, to get it back to the higher points, you got to mix that with like a 140, 145, which is a little bit difficult. But hey, JT knows what I'm talking about. So
one of my favorite things, especially like DJing, because DJing is so fun, especially when you get a good crowd, because you realize how much control you have over people just through emotions.
Yes.
And like with songs, my favorite thing to do is listen or watch people as they listen for the next song. And a lot of times my transitions, there's a couple songs that I'll just like kill it and give the room like a moment of silence and then start a song. And if I'm in like a genre and I don't know how to get out of it, but I have to like stop and switch something, I'll always like kill it for a second and I'll wait for like one or two people to like turn their head and look at me like, now what? And I'll start R. Kelly Bump and Grind, because it starts with my mind's telling me no. But my body's telling me yes. And it's so slow and everyone knows it that they, within the first sentence, they start singing it, and I'll let it go for just a little bit because people get into this. Oh, okay. This is where we're going. And then I'll drop it off and then I'll throw a Pony by Genuine on because it's that same type, it's that same type of vibe, but it's a little bit quicker and a little bit raunchier. And people are like, oh, okay, so we're going to go for some old school hip hop from here. But just watching people's reactions when they know words to songs, they want to sing along and they start having fun with their friends. Like, man, that is such a great feeling. And
oh yeah,
having people look at you and they're like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. I like what he's playing. Like, that's really fun when you get down to it and you can find a handful of songs that really go well together. Like, It's one of those things where you can't jump the gun. You really have to wait to the right time in the night where you're like,
you got to sprinkle. You got to sprinkle.
Yep, I'm pulling out the big guns. Here we go. And you know you're going to go hard for like 30 minutes to an hour.
We all have that one song that like, it's like, this is where the crowd's going to know, like, we just picked things up too. like the party just started.
Well, and even if I go hard for a while with some old school hip hop, where we're doing like DMX and Nelly and Chingy and 50 Cent, like if we run down that rabbit hole and I'm like, okay, we kind of need to get out of this rap stuff, but I want a little bit of a feel good moment, I'll drop off one of those songs that was really hype, but then I'll go into like Marvin Gaye, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, because again, you can't not sing it. And I feel like when people go out to the club, whether they want to or not, there's songs like that where they're like, I hear this at weddings, but I also have the best time of my life when I'm with my friends and we're singing this stuff because we know it. And if you can go from like that into I always go into like CeeLo, Forget You or Fuck You, like I'll play that because again, people know that like the back of their hand when it comes down to it. And a lot of the songs that people like they hate, but they hate it because they hear it so much. Yeah. And if you can take a song that's like 8 to 10 years old that someone had overplayed in their head, they know all the words to it and they haven't heard it for a long time. But then all of a sudden, if Miley Cyrus Party in the USA comes on, you can't help but throw your hands up because you're having a good time and you know all the words.
And the song tells you to put your hands up.
Exactly.
My go-to is always Hall & Oates. Like I drop You Make My Dreams Come True.
Oh, yeah.
That one every single time. Like I mix What Else Do I Do? Like my go-to is I'll mix like Wannabe by Spice Girls with DMX. Like that's always like I'm big on like redrums and things like that. So I'll mix like Flo Rida Low with Ain't No Mountain High Enough. It literally sounds like the exact same song. So I always want to keep it like where it sounds as though like the song that you can't even tell that the song is changing. So, and that's I think crazy. That's what every single one of us want to do, that you want to make it seem like the song is just a continuous track going. So,
there's
no better feeling. Like, I've had, like, I typically just do weddings now. I can't do clubs anymore. I got 4 kids. I can't be out until 4:30 in the morning, like, partying anymore. I can't do it. I used to be in the clubs. Like, I used to do... I used to help out with Club Kiss for a long time. Like worked in a nightclub, did college ID night. I worked in one of the busiest nightclubs in downtown Cleveland for many, many years. Can't do it anymore. I can't even close a bar if I go out with my buddies anymore. Like I'm home by 12. Like I can't do it. But like
weddings. No, because you're already fall over drunk at that point.
That was one time, and I was on a massive diet. I was on a massive diet. I had no carbs. I barely ate that day, and you gave me sugar, something I hadn't had in 3 months. Yes,
I did not. It was my birthday, so I didn't buy shit.
Okay, fine.
That was your wife. It was
on your recommendation.
No, because you said, ooh, what's that? And then your wife bought it.
Okay, fine. Okay, I gave in to peer pressure, but in my defense, I was severely intoxicated. So, and I didn't even get
to midnight. And that's why you couldn't fucking get to midnight.
I couldn't. I didn't even make it to like 10:45.
I think we were still home by about 11:45.
Yeah, I had to. Well, you guys were trying to convince my wife to like send me home by myself. They're like,
No. I was in the middle of playing NFL Blitz, and my wonderful girlfriend is the one who tried to convince her, and she almost bit on it too.
She did, but thank God I had to tell the Uber driver to pull over. I've never done that before. That was the first time I've ever thrown up while drinking. And it was...
Because...
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. And your wife loves my girlfriend enough, so, yeah.
Yeah. Which, she should have just stayed out. She really should have. That was my
thought. But then you would have... God, you wouldn't have gotten home.
I wouldn't have. No possible way whatsoever. So no way whatsoever I would have gotten home. The problem was I ordered the Uber, and I told the Uber to go to the bar that we were at before we came to meet you. I had to go home, and I put in Uber. Take me back to the previous bar.
Because you thought you drove your car there, and your wife had to remind you. No!
No, I didn't. We Ubered, and I was like, we have to go get my car. She's like, we didn't even drive. I'm like, oh, okay, take me home. I need to go home right now. I walked in the house, literally. I don't even think I made it to the bed before I was asleep. I slept, like, I sleepwalked to my bed. My mom, like, looked at us, like, when we walked in, because I was home so early. She's like, did something happen? They're like, no, Patrick's just really drunk. It's like, my mom's never seen me drunk before, and I, like, refused
bullshit.
To talk to she hasn't. No, not that drunk. Not that drunk. I don't think I've ever been that drunk. Your night of your birthday was the drunkest I think I've ever been in my entire life. Like, and awesome. I'm talking like Josh's wedding. Like, I wasn't even that drunk at Josh's wedding, and we were all pretty lit at Josh's wedding. I think. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was bad. The party bus is what got us. I the only thing I remember is I asked the DJ to play "You Make My Dreams Come True," but I stood there for like a good 15 minutes before I could actually get the words out because I was that drunk. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a bad night. That was a bad night. Dave actually had to look at me during my speech. I'm like, Pat, you need to.
We all looked at you because you were just rambling.
I was.
For 10 minutes.
It was not 10 minutes. It was at least 7.5. At least. Still. At least 7.5. But
because we all looked at each other like, where is Pat going with this? And then somebody finally got in the middle of it.
Yes. Someone did. You did. Yes. And thank God I didn't.
It was not me.
It was you.
You were just going to have the Hillbilly Jim Hall of Fame and just keep going?
Yes. Yep. Yes. I would have. I would have started singing. I would have turned it into
almost
karaoke.
Like Mike. Yeah, almost like, was it the Mike Tyson one? Talking about my mama.
Oh, God. No. That was Mr. T.
Mr. T,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. That, T, my mama. My mama.
Mr. T, sorry.
You can make a drinking game out of that, too. Mike Tyson is not in the WWE Hall of Fame, believe it or not.
You know he's got to go in someday.
He really does. But my question at this point is, when is the Hall of Fame going to take place this year?
I would say SummerSlam. I bet they're going to make SummerSlam a big weekend, and anything they didn't have a chance to do Mania weekend, you can just turn it into a giant SummerSlam weekend. And if, you know, for some reason they're like, things aren't looking great, you can always just hold out. You can always get to Survivor Series, make it one of your big four pay-per-views still. And as long as you make it a huge thing, like you have the ability to do it with WrestleMania every year and turn it into a however many day weekend.
Yeah.
You can really take any of your big events that you really want to push and make it a significant thing. And you can turn your calendar into whatever you want. Like WWE can walk out of this with a reset button if they want and really walk out of this and be like, hey, we have a completely new business model on how we want to go forth with our 12-month calendar. And they can do anything they want because once all of us come out of this, everybody gets a reset button essentially.
Yeah. And I think this is going to be like a wake-up call where they're not going to do any overseas types of travel this year. I don't foresee them doing Crown Jewel or anything along those lines. I think they're gonna stay within the confines of the United States this year, which is a little unfortunate because you're not gonna have anything in Canada or anything like that. You're not gonna have the Europe tours. I think they're gonna try to keep those away.
Yeah, because I think they were even supposed to go back to Australia here in like October or something.
Yeah, they were supposed to have like a Super Showdown in Australia coming up. I think it was supposed to be like one of the pay-per-views that they were supposed to do, or like event, like network specials or something like that. But
I wonder how Saudi Arabia is going to feel when they can't come back this year.
Well, who knows? I mean, they pumped out enough money for it, so they can just do it like three times next year, four times next year. Who knows? But I think what this has really done is given WrestleMania, 38 now? 38's obviously going to be in Tampa. They're going to bring it back to Tampa. And if they're smart, like we've discussed previously, they really have to do an unlock feature on 2K20, where you can now download the WrestleMania 36 set, and you can see what it would have looked like.
Oh. I still think they should have. I think they should have pocketed that one. They should hold that until they go back, because you could just reuse it when and go back to Tampa in 2022.
Yeah, and just revamp it. Like, whatever new technology that comes out, now you have an opportunity. But even when they announced that they were going to be in Tampa, I was like, I don't know how they're going to incorporate that pirate ship, but I'm excited.
Well, you know what's kind of relevant coming out of today is the fact that former 24/7 champion Rob Gronkowski is still now on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Still, is he still the champion, or did he lose it?
No, I think he. Actually, you know what? I don't know.
No, he's still champion. I think because we actually had that conversation earlier today. No.
Yeah, Gronk is still 24/7 champion, because even WWE posted that. You know, congrats on coming back to football. Just remember, it can be defended anytime, anywhere. Even after you catch a touchdown pass from Tom Brady, anytime, anywhere.
I think that would be perfect.
I'm telling you, all I want is a touchdown, Gronk spike, R-Truth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if that happened?
In the middle of a goddamn football game, I want it to happen.
You know it's going to happen on Fox.
Exactly. Delay a game. Offense being pinned.
Yeah. like you have that security guard like at WrestleMania 33 that didn't know that Gronk was supposed to be involved. Like you just have R-Truth come up and pin him, and then the security guard like tackles him, but he's covering Gronk. Now the security guard that was just trying to do his fucking job is now the 24/7 champion.
No, that's what happens, is you're going to have like somebody try to pin him, and the security guard is going to be R-Truth.
Ooh, I like it. They need to hire us. We can do better writing at this point. Well, one thing that I'm liking, though, with this, like, you look at some of the, well, tonight, as we're recording this, we have Impact Rebellion. And who knows, we're not going to give any spoilers here. You can definitely check that out at any of their streaming platforms. I think they're still banned from Twitch thanks to RVD. So that still goes down by far. One of the greatest ways to get banned from a streaming service, that promo right there. But Rebellion's going on. But you have Impact Wrestling. You have AEW as well. That is putting on full wrestling shows from start to finish with no crowd. You have WWE that is incorporating some wrestling, but then also showing old clips. So my question to both of you, in the quarantine age, because we had the Attitude Era, we had Ruthless Aggression, we have whatever they're considering this, the PG era, now I think we have the quarantine era. Who do you think at this point is winning the quarantine wars at this point when it pertains to wrestling?
Nobody.
Thank you. Thank you. No one's winning. I don't have independent wrestling. There's two belts, one cup. It's not getting defended, which is great for you because you have plenty of time to polish it up and make it look nice, take as many promo pictures as you can, but you want to get in that ring and you want to prove that you're the champion. And
I think the people that are actually coming out of this, the biggest winners are the fans, because you have no events to go to, so you have every organization doing everything they can to put out all the content possible on every platform available. And if you've ever wanted to see a match from just about anybody right now, it's out there, and it's easier than ever to get it. Because people are saying, hey, we can't put on wrestling shows, but we want to give you content. So just about anybody and everybody that I've had a chance to work for, they're throwing up stuff on their streaming services. They're doing free match Fridays. YouTube's getting littered with all kinds of matches. I mean, I'm glad that there's still live wrestling when it comes down to it. But when we look back at this time period, it's going to be, hey, you remember when there was that giant spike of content where everybody put everything up so that way you could have the entire back catalog for Ring of Honor or AAW or any of these other people where, you know, the stars were born before they got to the major promotions. If you've ever wanted to catch up on somebody because you don't know their backstory, I mean, now's the best time. Easily the best time to do that, because if you flip on Raw and you're like, eh, I really can't do this thing where there's no fans, it's kind of just lackluster, it's not my cup of tea, I don't want to sit through the 3 hours, especially of this, awesome, man. Go back and catch out some, you know, Ted Petty invitational stuff from IWA Mid-South in the early 2000s. I mean, there's so much good stuff out there that no one knew existed. Like, go back and relive those memories and watch early Samoa Joe or Austin Aries matches.
Oh, I completely agree. Just go ahead, Dave.
No, I'm sorry. Continue, Pat.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you could go back and you look at, for example, Kurt Angle. When he really hit his peak in professional wrestling, it was really with Impact Wrestling. And especially that his debut that I think is so undervalued when he came out and headbutted Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah.
That is so iconic but is not talked about enough when it pertains to debuts, when he just walks out. And there was nothing holding back that headbutt. That wasn't a shoot. Like, he literally leveled him with a headbutt. And the matches that preceded that moment were some of Kurt Angle's best in his entire career. And yeah. I don't think a lot of people have really seen it. They just look at what he did in WWE, and that's all they think about. That's all they look at.
Yeah.
Another great person that really hit his stride with Impact Wrestling, who I feel is a very undervalued talent, Bubba Ray Dudley, or Bully Ray, as he was known.
Yep.
A phenomenal singles wrestler that was only used in tag team competition in WWE, but one of the best heels in Impact Wrestling. There's so much wrestling that you could truly go out there and just fall down these, and I use the term all the time, these rabbit holes. You can go back and watch Kevin Steen versus El Generico. You could look at old Pac videos, Austin Aries, like you mentioned, but there's so many other wrestlers out there that you can. One thing that I did when I subscribed to the IWC Network, a phenomenal promotion out of Pittsburgh, was watching some of their old super indie tournaments and some of the names that they came up. You got to subscribe to it if you want to find out. But I was watching some of them like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that this person was in it. And look at their career now. And here they are going up against this person. And not giving anything away, go back and check it out. But there's so much content available that if you need your wrestling fix, yeah, it's not modern. It didn't happen yesterday. But if you want to see some good matches and essentially why these people are where they are today, go check it out.
Yeah.
So at this point,
continue off of some of that was,
yeah,
where JT said, you know, yeah, this is great for the fans. And in a weird way, this is also, I think, good for some of the wrestlers out there where everyone always talks about you're always like wrestling through injuries and you're always hurting. Mm-hmm. This gets a lot of people at, you know, from the outside. I feel like this is giving a lot of you from all these different ailments and injuries and whatnot.
Yeah.
But what I think is, here's a question to you, is once everything starts to kind of open back up a little bit, how long do you think it's going to take for you to, let's say, you know, as they say, knock the ring rust off,
callus up?
I don't know. It's going to be one of those things where maybe the first time that I have a weekend where I get a chance to do a Friday Saturday weekend where I have two good matches like back to back. But it depends. I think, again, it just depends on your style, because I don't think you should go into things balls to the wall, because fans, sure, some fans might expect that, but I think everyone's also going to anticipate, just like the first chance that you get two guys in there and they're just going to lock up and you'll be like, all right, cool. We got that far. So I think everyone just needs to kind of feel themselves out at their own pace, just so that way, you know, because you can always, you're not going to jump back into a WrestleMania main event, nor should you. You know, every time we come back, that's the first chapter in the next story. So, you know, don't go balls to the wall unless you know where you're going. And when it comes down to it, like all these guys and girls, this is right now, everyone should be preparing for their 2003 or 2002 Triple H comeback right now, where the first time that you walk into the next promotion you work for, if you don't look like $1 million because you haven't been, you know, doing your home workouts, eating correct, getting your sleep in and doing everything, like there's no excuse right now. 100%. Like unless you're a frontline worker and you're a nurse or something of that nature where you're killing yourself to keep everyone alive, like right now when it comes to independent pro wrestling, you get a free reset button, which a lot of people never will get in their entire careers. And we're living through a pandemic that people have to, you know, adjust to. And if you come out of this and you show up to a show and you're like, oh, it's just the same old stuff again. No, this is the best time for you to come out, get new gear, get a new entrance song, reinvent yourself, and come back and say, hey, this is a new version of me. This is where we're going from here. And that's what I even plan for myself when it comes out of this. Like, I don't want to walk into the next show and be like, hey, remember that time we had a couple months off and I did nothing with it? So I'm going to go ahead and keep being the same person you're used to. No, I'm going to be a new version of JT Energy, the six-star booty, the Michael Jordan of misting. And I'm going to walk into the next event and make people be like, wow, he really did something with that time off. This is awesome. We get a new version of someone who I've always loved.
And more importantly than that, there's so many people that are taking this opportunity to truly get their workouts in, to eat healthy, to really focus on themselves. And I just see, especially with every single promotion, there's going to be a fight, not for that main event spot. Everyone wants to be that first match where they're the table setters, essentially, where this is the first match that this promotion's had in X amount of months. I want to go out there and I want to set that level high. So give me the first match out. And I think everyone's going to be fighting for that, not the main event. Everyone wants to be that one match that everyone's been waiting on. So when that card comes out, who's opening? Okay, I'm the first one. Here's your first wrestling in X amount of months. Enjoy. So this is what you've missed. This is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you everything. And I think you make a great point. No one should really be walking out there, like, sitting on their couch. But this is just volume one of our 50 Shades of Filth. So there were four books, I think, or three. I don't know. So this is volume one. So we do need to leave them with a teaser because I am married, so I have seen the first one. So we can just end on your name or we can end on a fun note. Who knows? But otherwise, if you do want to follow along, you can find him all across social media. If you haven't already from our first interview with him, you can go on back, click that follow button. Also, head on over, buy some of his merch because let's face it, we're not having any wrestling. You can't catch him this weekend at all the promotions he's already mentioned. So if you do want to support him, show him some love, buy some candy canes and definitely that 12-16 JT shirt or sticker or whatever it may be. I do have a confession to make, by the way. So I don't know who it was. It was either my son or my sons or my daughters. Someone ran off with my 12-16 sticker that you sent me. And it was in there. Oh, no, I'm not done. They put it in their pocket. And it went through the washer. I literally almost cried. I was like, this is the one sticker I wanted. And it's gone. So I might need to put an order in soon. We'll wait for the new one.
Yeah.
So because I got my road gear for not only podcasting but also DJing that is covered with stickers. I will say that you are currently the front runner for most stickers on it right now. So, but there's a couple, but I'm lacking a few additional JT Energy stickers. But you definitely want to go check out those shirts. One in particular, my favorite, Booty King. Go get that one right now. It is available on his website. It is on the homepage, and we'll also post it in the description of this interview as well if you do want to check that out as well. But JT, we truly appreciate your time here tonight. I'm going to leave you with some final thoughts to leave to our listeners on what they can do to anticipate themselves for part two of this interview.
Well, when it comes down to it, everything that you see up front is only what you think you know, but the things behind the scenes are what really creep up behind, or that's what really creeps up and gets you in the end. So when it comes to JT Energy and it comes to the six-star booty, it's great that we've scratched the surface and we've turned the first couple pages in the book, but no one knows truly what's deep down inside and the person that I am or the person that I'm going to become in the future. And so when you need a teaser, all you need to do is whisper the name JT Energy and you know the next one's on the horizon. So to all the listeners of the Dark Match podcast that want to show some love to the six-star booty JT Energy, you know what? I have plenty of stickers. I have some free time. Anybody that screenshots that they listened to this podcast, go ahead, screenshot it, send it to me, DM me, whatever you got to do, and say, hey, man, I listened to your story. I listened to the Dark Match podcast. I can't wait for part three. And I'll go ahead and send you a sticker. We'll send them out. We'll spread the filth. You'll have Energy 1216 all across the United States, hopefully. And then we'll go ahead and we'll jump right back into part three, the dark side of JT Energy, a spinoff of the dark side of the ring. But hopefully it will be actually a Are You Afraid of the Dark inspired episode, not a Dark Side of the Ring inspired episode. I'll throw some sand on the fire, and we'll jump into the first episode.
I'm so excited! So, stick around for part three coming up. But JT, yeah, thank you so much for your time here tonight.
No problem, guys.
Well, sir, I think that there needs to be the elephant in the room addressed. So,
what?
Retaliation is a great word now. Obviously, we want everyone to go back and listen to the end of the interview for an opportunity to win some free merchandise. But at the same point, we want you to avoid any type of retaliation for what happened at the open of the episode. So I think we need to lay some ground rules in our...
No. Whoa. No, you ruined this already.
Oh, shit. I'm getting a notification for PS4.
I know. I kind of want to, like...
Well, we do too. You know what? It stinks for what happened to all the wrestlers that were released, but you know what? Only time will tell where they go from here. So that is going to do it for this week's episode. We appreciate all of you for tuning in to our 50 Shades of Filth with JT Energy. We look forward to part three for Are You Afraid of the Booty, I guess we can say, or whatever it's going to be at this point. But if you want to follow along, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on all of our streaming platforms. Be sure to follow us on social media as well if you haven't already. But, Dave, enjoy that ice. I'm going to go enjoy some carnitas and kill.
I hate you.
I love you, too. I will see you all next week. And, Dave, it's only just begun.